Okay, I want to welcome everybody to our first shiur on Kavod. As we know, it's our third Midah of the year in the yeshiva. It's actually a fascinating topic, and like the other topics of Emet and Hakarat HaTov that we spoke about this year, it's also there's just so much material on it, and the challenge is sometimes to what not to teach. This time we're planning a little bit of Hashkafa based on the Tkufa, the time period of the year that we're doing in now. Next time is going to be a kind of a halachic survey of all different aspects of Kavod in many different contexts. If you just think off the top of your head, what areas is Kavod, respect, honor, relevant? We can come up with a whole bunch of different ones. So, parents, elders, teachers, but there are other areas that might be more surprising and might not come to mind immediately. So that, you know, it's just a little preview. That's what we'll talk about a little more halachic shir actually next time. Go into a whole bunch of different areas that relate to the concept of kavod in halacha. So this time we'll be more hashkafa. It's a story told of an anecdote of Reb Zev Mezbij that he was at Shalashuddis, and by Hasidim Shalashuddis is called Raivi de Raivin, not Pi Kabbalah. It's the most choice time of the week. It's a very special time. And at this Shalashuddis, they usually have beautiful, very inspiring Divrei Torah. And there was a man who came to visit, and he took a piece of radish. In the middle of the Shalashuddis there, he's chomping on the radish and making a racket. And all the Hasidim are looking at him and yelling, "Whoa, what's going on in front of the Rebbe? Chutzpah, Naira? What are you doing here?" So the Rebbe saw this, and he was taken aback that Hasidim embarrassed this man, the guest. I mean, yes, maybe you shouldn't have chomped so hard on the radish. So that the Rebbe did, he took a piece of radish, and he chomped on the radish. Not that he normally chomped. In order to give the message to Hasidim that what they were doing was far worse than making a little noise with some radish. So the Rebbe understood how important it was to preserve the dignity of this person. And that had nothing to do with the person's particular status or stature. Just every person has to have kavod. And here, if you look at the first source, page 1, you see this is from Alei Shur, from the beautiful Sefer Masur, where the arrow is. He says, "Kol Adam," you see where the arrow is, the second paragraph, "Kol Adam zakuk leharacha." Every person needs to be valued. V'chayav tluyim ba, and a person's life is dependent upon this. Asaba mislabotka, a gaon Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zatzal, the Saba from Slabotka, so Baal Musar, very famous Baal Musar, haya omer, ki ha'adam eino yachol lichyot b'li kavod. A person can't live without honor and respect. V'lu yitzur, shikum meno et kol kvodo yamut. And if you were to take all of a person's dignity or honor from him or her, they would die. It's a powerful idea. You can't strip a person of all their dignity and honor. And it's very hard sometimes in difficult situations. I'm faced all the time. I have to tell people they're not doing something right. And it's very hard. Or whatever the situation may be, we have to tell our children, we have to tell our spouses sometimes. And very, very difficult thing. But this is a very important concept to remember. Every person needs, craves, wants, and a kavod. Just like we need air to breathe, every person needs kavod. So that's the positive side of kavod. I guess it's positive that everybody needs it. But too much of it is also a big problem, as we'll see. We'll spend a lot of time talking about that. So giving respect, it's our obligation. We're going to talk about it more perhaps from what our chiyuv is towards other people in terms of giving kavod, not in so much this time in terms of receiving kavod, but to recognize every single person in order to live must have kavod. If you turn over the page, this is the premier, the most important text for this time of year, for between Pesach and Shavuot. This is from the Ein Yaakov. It's one of the most famous Gemaras in all of Shas, and it's a very powerful Gemara. And I think the context is as important, if not more, than the actual tochen content of this. This is very important. Everybody should learn this each year, and we'll look at different understandings of the chait of the students of Rabbi Akiva. This is the source, everybody talks about it every year. So let's take a look at the text inside. Right, the Ein Yaakov, of course, is a compilation of all the Agadita in the Gemara. The Gemara has the Agadah and the Halacha. So someone came along and put the Ein Yaakov just separates out the Agadic portion, which is lessons for life and Musar, etc. And then there's a bunch of commentaries that you'll see on the page here. So you see the big paragraph, Chaf Aleph, Tanya, we learn in a Braita, which is an extra Mishnaic source from the time of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, Rabbi Yehoshua says, Nasa Adam Isha Bialduto, Isa Isha Bezuknuto. If a person gets married when he's young, and God forbid his wife passes away, or vice versa, right, then he should get married again when he's older. And it's very hard, but you know, couples that lose a spouse, I remember a wonderful couple, older couple in Boston in particular, they both lost their spouses, and they had been seeing each other, they had come to this shul every yontif together, and over the years they were friendly, and when both of their spouses passed away, so they married each other. And it gave them extra arichos yamim, it gave them a focus, it gave them hope, and it was, it's very hard. Of course, people can be married 40, 50, 60 years, and then, but if a person is in such a situation, it is very good for them if they're able to do that. It's a sad situation. On the other hand, you know, to rebuild so many people after the Holocaust also. How many people, and we just had a speaker 2 weeks ago, you know, people who lost spouses in the Holocaust, lost Rachman and son, lost children in the Holocaust. So the ability to rebuild and to start over and to get married again is painful and difficult. But those who are able to do it, it gives them a new life. Okay. Hayulo banim yulo banim beziknutov. He has children when he is young. He should have children again when he's older. Shneamar, as it says in Kohelet, baboker zara et zarecha. In the morning you plant your seed, in the evening don't let go. Don't forget about it. Make sure that you continue to do so. The Gemara comments, we're in the third line in the paragraph in the middle. We don't know which is going to work out, this one or that one. We'll see the context again in a second. If they're both going to work out. Right, yeah, Yaakov had children when he was younger, Yaakov had children when he was older, some of the children were, by Yaakov, they were all good, but some were worked out better than others, by the Avraham and Yitzchak, that wasn't the case, so we have examples of both in Tanakh as well. Now, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lomet Torah Bialduto, Yilmot Torah Bezignuto. If a person either learn, it could be Lamed, Lilamed, but could, learns Torah when he's young, he should learn Torah when he's old. Hayulo talmidim bialduto, yulo talmidim bezeknuto. If he taught, also lilamed, right? Taught Torah when he's younger, he should also do so when he's older. If he had students when he was younger, he should continue to have students when he was older. Shneamar baboker zara zarecha, the same pasuk. My Rebbe, Rabbi Sam Gennaro, alav shalom, when he was a younger man, he would have adults and children come to his house, particularly in Shabbos during the week. Also, he used to give a shiur. And he was always, every year, taking on like, new students, little kids, when he was in his 60s, 70s, 80s. Always, new students came to his house. Always a new generation of students. And he followed this principle. So now, Amru. Now, here's the context for the Gemara that we all know, right? Amru, they said, Shenem asar elef zugim talmidim hayulo l'Rabbi Akiva. There were 12,000 pairs of students that Rabbi Akiva had. Again, what should it say? It probably should say 24,000, right? So there's something to be said. Why is it 12? Because there were chavrusas. Okay, there's a lot to be said about that also. Migivat ad Antiparas. From one city to the other, this is a large area. Vakulan metu beperek echad. And they all died in one time period of the year. Mibnei shulo nahagu kavod zelazeh. Because they did not show honor to one another. And the world was desolate until Rabbi Akiva came to our rabbis in the south, the Shana, and he taught the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoah. And he taught all these rabbanim, and they established or reestablished Torah at that time. In fact, Rabbi Akiva, as we know, is the basis for the entire Mishnah, and thereby the entire Shas. The Torah of Rabbi Akiva is the foundation for all of Shas. And these were his key talmidim, and from them, so you think, you know, he had these 24,000 students when he was younger, and they died. Terrible, terrible tragedy. And yet what he rebuilt, and he didn't give up, like people didn't give up after the Holocaust, and he rebuilt from these five talmidim, basically we have all of Shas, in a manner of speaking. Tana kula meitu bePesach veAtzeret. We learn they all died from Pesach to Atzeret. Amar Rav Chama bar Abba, veItamer Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, veKula meitu mitaraa. They all died a very terrible death. Maihi, what was that death? Amar Rav Nachman Askara. Askara is a very terrible disease. It starts in the stomach and it goes through up through the throat, and it's not a pleasant experience. Very unpleasant experience. It's a very dramatic, disturbing Gemara, and at the same time, it's a hopeful Gemara, because of the whole context is one of rebuilding after terrible tragedy. It's a message of how central and essential the concept of kavod, of honor, is to life. As we started off with, you don't have kavod, just like a person doesn't have air, can't breathe, and can't live. A person without kavod also can't live. And if you take away that kavod, you don't give kavod to someone, then the result is death, either physical or otherwise. So even if it's not physical death, a person can die an emotional death, Rachman al-Islan, if they have absolutely no dignity, if there's no kavod for them. So that's a powerful thing. Sometimes it's called slow death, and I had actually read it once, a business book that spoke about a person is in a particular job and it's just eating them up, and it's not healthy for them, and it's also a type of a person, because if they have no dignity and that, whatever it is, a person has to have kavod, just like they have to have air. So let's talk about what kavod, a little more in depth. What exactly was the chait? How did they not show kavod? Pshat is they didn't they were nice to each other. What happened? So let's take the Eitz Yosef first and see how he explains it. His is the most basic pshat, I think. If you see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom on the left hand side of the page in Rashi's script on the bottom. Nishal Nagu Kavazilaz, three lines up. Mishambi Midrash Ita, we see in the Midrash Mipnei Shaita Inehem Tsara Elu La Elu. They were kind of stingy or towards one another. They were looking very carefully at each other. Klomar shayu sonim ze laze. They hated each other. V'lahiu rotzim lehanot ze laze b'limud. And they didn't want to give the other one the pleasure of telling them something over and learning. It's like, oh, it's my chat, my thing, and I have a... Right? And ukan peru shelo nagu kavod, shelo chash kol echad mehem al kavod Torah shel chavero de'in kavod al Torah. They didn't have respect for the Torah of the other one. But can you imagine? I mean, it's hard to believe even. But he says the basic shot. On the other hand, if you read some of our newspapers today, and you see, or we see the turmoil and the lack of respect from this group or this group, even within the Orthodox community. And I listened to a tape not too long, a few years back, about this one calling the other one an Ocher Yisrael, the son of, which was the worst curses that were given, to Eliyahu Navi, Achav gave to Eliyahu Navi, and Eliyahu Navi gave to him. You hater of Israel, you despise one of them. I mean, on the tape that I heard was a big Rav was saying that about another big Rav. Okay, one was from one Orthodox movement, and there was another Orthodox movement. And so, unfortunately, this is human nature. People could be, great people and can be very learned, and unfortunately, we're all human too. What happens is, I've had discussions, people are so territorial, we all are, it's only natural. We're all territorial about our, whether it's intellectual property, if we create something, do we want to share it? Some people are, usually I find women usually are easier, better at sharing, working with kindergartners and preschoolers. It all starts in preschool. I don't know if you watch, if the preschool teacher and the kindergarten teacher and the parents together work hard to instill a sense of sharing. Some kids have it more naturally, some kids have to learn it more. But if we're able to give that over, even at that age, it can have a big impact on the rest of life. Because the same thing about sharing at 5 years old, sometimes it translates into the same older age.
My experience is it definitely changes at some point in time. And that, I don't know if it's a claw that you just said, but what you seem to say about girls and women sharing better, it's definitely, my experience, definitely not true in terms of when they get older. It's no question about it.
It could be. Maybe, I'm making a generalization, but I found there's some psychological studies, not just my, where women have relationships more because of the interpersonal component is very important to them, and that part of that is the sharing, just having... There are many exceptions. Listen, I think maybe you're an exception. I like to think I'm an exception. But,
no,
but
I'm just...
I understand.
I would challenge that in terms of, you know, my experience in terms of dealing with clients, my experience in terms of raising children, mm-hmm. things of that nature, and kid myself.
Yeah. Okay, I know there's...
Without being right. disrespectful.
That's absolutely not. You're allowed to disagree. Okay, yes, please, by all means.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about 24,000 people.
Yeah.
We're not nice to each other, all of our Yeshiva students.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds a little outrageous.
It does. First of all, I mean, where the number is exact, I don't know. Sometimes the Gemara uses round numbers and exaggeration.
Yeah.
Even so, even if it's any... It's shocking. And the Gemara, remember the context also is that even you think about it in those times, given the number of people in the whole world, as being like a mini Holocaust. And these were your leaders of the Jewish people. So if you lost there 24,000, it's mind-boggling. It really is. And these are Gedolim. And the amazing thing is that Rabbi Akiva was able to rebuild after all this also. I mean, I'm not sure which is more remarkable, the fact that they die. So this basic shot doesn't sit well with us. The whole Gemara is very disturbing, and I think it's meant to be disturbing. But the Eitz Yosef doesn't make it any better. It makes it worse, if anything. And if you want to feel slightly better about it, and have a little more of an elevated perspective, I think, on the Gemara, let's take a look at the Shem Yishmor. It's the, what's not the next page? Where is it? It's got a little out of order here. Okay. It says on top, Shem Yishmor. Okay, you'll see it's right here. Okay, it got a little out of order. The Shem Yishmor, it's on Lag BaOmer that he says this. Yesh Litbonen. You have to think about this. Mamasha Amru Zal, Chav Dalet Av Tamidim Ayula L'Rabbi Akiva. That he had 24,000 students. V'kula meitu mi, this is Rav Shmuel Mishakachav, the son of the Avnei Nezer. Okay, v'kula meitu mi Pesach ve'aratzeret, and they all died for Pesach ve'aratzeret. Nesh l'onagu kavazalazet. This is what we just learned. Remuzah b'lag ba'omer paslamut, on lag ba'omer they stopped dying. Echa tzadikim halalu, sh'ayalahem b'shutam l'hatot l'kol asher the words a little rubbed out. Madua lo nagu kavazalazet. Basically, how could you have a basic question? How is it possible that people of such a level were able to didn't have respect for one another? V'onish haya b'zman hazeh dafka, and the punishment was in this time in particular. V'nireh ha'inyan nihigat kavazeh b'zeh. Okay, we're now on the top of the column. Sorry, that part got a little hard to read. And what does this mean? This is unbelievable. I think this is just a incredible pshat. Kfar amarnu, shehi kavod is. What is kavod? Shehi mitzad shiro ebichaveiro ma'ala she'ein bo. If I see in someone else something that I don't have, see my spouse, whatever. My spouse is very wonderful at doing whatever. You fill in the blank. And so I have respect for my spouse because they're, you know, they really know how to do this, and I can really learn from my spouse and appreciate it, and they help me all the time with this, and I help them with something else. Whatever. They have something I don't have. My colleague at work, they're an expert at this, and I'm better at that. A student in class, this kid is really good at math, and the other kid, and he helps his friend with math, another one helps the other one write the essays, whatever it may be. I see in the other person something unique and special which I don't have. Alkei noe kavod bo. Therefore, on basis of this, the person shows respect to them. Sharei bifrat zehu gavoh mimeno. Because I view that person as being greater than me in this matter. Right? It's very important for spouses to do this on a, you know, to list for themselves. They don't even have to tell their spouse. Although nice to tell them too, but you know, to list for yourself what are the things you really on a regular basis. I really appreciate this about my spouse. I really like this about my spouse, and they're really great at this. You know. It's very important to keep renewing that list and over the years and thinking about that. And likewise in the other direction also. It's impossible that another person, your friend, your colleague, your spouse, whomever it might be, your child, doesn't have where they're greater than you, greater than each of us. Okay?
Behinei ba'adam prati, an individual,
even though every person has different evarim, different limbs, hands, arms, right? Different nose, whatever. Mikol makom ein shayach lomar. It's not relevant to say she'ever ze yachlo kavod ze kavod lazeh. Shayach kol echad. It's not relevant to speak about my arm giving kavod to my leg. It's all part of one physical entity. So I don't say my arm is shibachad my leg and let my leg walk first instead of the arm going after. It doesn't make sense. Okay. In Cain, and if so, lichora chavirim shein ki ish echad b'leiv echad mamish. It's unbelievable. This is incredible. That friends or colleagues, like the students of Rabbi Akiva, that were like one heart, mamish. Remember, v'yichan yisrael k'negar, ki ish echad b'leiv echad. We got the Torah, we were really like one physical entity. And they had achieved that level of godlus, that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva all were like one heart. One person, unbelievable. Yesh makom lomar shelo shayechet chalukat kavod ze lazeh. It's relevant to speak about not giving kavod one to another. Shrei kulam ki ish echad mamish. Because they were so familiar with one another. They were so used to each other. They felt like they were one body. Everything, the arm moved, the leg moved with it. They didn't feel detached in any way. They were so connected one with the other. Vinir Esh is... Yep, go ahead. Well, let's see how it goes. It continues. Vinir Esh is... Zeh ya tam talmidei Rabbi Akiva. This is the reason for Rabbi Akiva. Exactly your words are the next five words. Exactly what you said. They obviously were... This is not truthful. This is not sufficient. There is some truth to this. There's something good about this. We received the Torah only because we had Achdus. You have to have Achdus. It's very important. Our yeshiva, we talk about Achdus all the time. It's extremely important. Achdus is critical. Remember, the whole thing is about kavod here, right? Emet eino kein. That's not true. Shrei kol tzadik v'tzadik yesh lo mador b'fnei atzmo. Every tzadik has their own compartment. And this is talking about in this world and in the next world. Okay, now I'll stop here because this is a beautiful detour which is relevant. But my Rosh Shiva of Goldrich Zatzal, the Rosh Shiva Karen Biavna, not the one at YU, that's his the uncle of the one at YU. He described based on the Nefesh HaChayim, what does Gan Eden feel like? What does it look like? So he said as follows, an unbelievable thing. He said, based on the Nefesh HaChayim, Chaim Yivalajin, every person in this world builds the Gan Eden for themselves, so that when they go into the next world, they just kind of naturally, automatically go right into their compartment, whatever that may be. How so? If a person likes music, but doesn't really understand, let's say a symphony, a person goes to a symphony, they never learned anything about music, so they go, it sounds nice, they enjoy it. If their themes repeat themselves a few times, they start to enjoy it more. They have some level of appreciation. They like it. Okay. The music marshal, I forgot you're sitting here. Okay. But if a person studies music and they understand the structure of the symphony and why the composer used this part and this section and how they relate to another and the three notes in this section of the symphony relate to the four notes in the other section and this part is slow and this part is faster and they have a real amkut, a real depth of understanding, then they go into the symphony and they're enthralled and they're appreciating it. They're in Gan Eden when they're in that symphony because they have such an appreciation. So to a person with Tam Beruchniyot in this world when if a person has an appreciation, a sensitivity to Ruchniyot, to spirituality, they create, so when they hear a certain type of, different people, different types of Dvar Torah, they hear a Dvar Torah of a certain kind. They're in Gan Eden also, even in the world. They have a tam beruchnias. They appreciate spirituality. They appreciate Torah. They appreciate what it is to elevate themselves through chesed, through Torah, whatever it may be. But they have developed feeling and understanding for ruchnias. So then when they go into the next world, they go up there. So if a person, the first person, take the person who doesn't appreciate the symphony. So they go to Gan Eden, they go up there, and they're, you know, it's very nice. They're bored. You know, it's for a long time. They appreciate it. It's nice, but it's nuts. But a person who develops the sense of spirituality in this world, then they go into the next world, they go there, and Gan Eden is unbelievable. If it's on a higher madrega of Gan Eden. That's how Nefesh HaChaim describes it, based on Rav Goldberg's explanation, that every tzaddik, every person, and every person can be a tzaddik. It means technical definition of tzaddik is only one more goody than Avera, right? But hopefully we'll try to rise higher than that. So every person, they go to Gan Eden, they have their own mador. That's the expression comes from. They have their own compartment, their own special hotel room. Okay? And there's because of the unique qualities of each person. So that's what he says. Kol tzadik v'tzadik yesh lo madur b'fnei atzma, has their own compartment. Ve'eino domeh le'adam echad. And they're not the same as another person. Everybody's completely unique, just like everybody's different, just like their faces are different, the Gemara said. So too, each person is different, just like the fingerprints are different, everybody's unique. Okay, the avshin yirtzim mitzad haklal, even though they're elevated, I'll use that word, or desired, but elevated mitzad haklal, mikol mokom yirtzim ganki mitzad haprat. There's something special about this person as part of a larger entity, as part of Klal Yisrael, but there's something special also about the individuality of that person. V'nidon kol echad v'yachad benekudat levavo levad. And the person is judged by their own, the point in their heart alone. Ke'en sheshamati mikvot kodsho, avi admor zatzal, that's the Avnei Nezer, he quotes his father all the time. Pirush or Pirush Divrei HaMidrash, kishu rotze korei et kulam ke'echad, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, he calls them all at once. Shenemar lekulam b'shem yikra, he calls all of them together, kishu rotze, and when he wants, korei et kol echad v'yachad b'shmo. He calls each one by their individual name. L'kach ne'amar l'chulam she'mot yikra. Kadosh Baruch Hu calls them each by their individual names. Hayinu k'sheyesh shehem nirtzim mitzad haklal v'yesh shehem nirtzim gam mitzad They are special in terms of their relationship as part of this Klal Yisrael, and they're also special in terms of their relationship to each other. And he darshans, we'll see if we have time, if we want to do this. The next piece is beautiful also. It relates to the different components in the months in Sefirat HaOmer. It's Pikabal a little bit. But the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva were so, they were very elevated. And they became part of this big entity called Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. And they had reached a very high level as a group. And they didn't see the uniqueness in each individual. They started to say, oh, we're all part of this big entity, the Rabbi Akiva's yeshiva. Right, so we have Yeshivat Lev here, so it's we should be very proud and happy to be part of the Haupt family. But at the same time, this Haupt family is composed of individuals, of individual students, individual parents, individual families. Each family has to, and because we're so big, sometimes it's challenging. So I'm really glad also everybody, people come to this group and other occasions, get to meet people, get to know them better in other contexts. But it's what every family, every student, their child has to be looked at for their unique qualities, and to give kavod, to respect the uniqueness, and that's what's special about every single child, every single adult in the community. That's so critical, and that was missing. So there's a positive side to this, and yes, they were so unified, but the negative side is that unity is something, it become like, I guess, like communism, right? Everybody's wearing the Mao suit, right? And everybody looks exactly the same, and everybody, so it's okay to have a uniform, but if you fail to look at the heart, the individual heart of each individual, that's a problem.
I know we mentioned so many people, it's unbelievable, and it's hard to fathom. Now, today, we're reading, and we know that, oh, they died because of this, but at the time it was happening, what was going through their minds? Did they realize what was going on? They know what they would have stopped this muddy file, whatever. I mean, what were they thinking?
I don't know if we can.
Like, what did they think?
It's interesting. We probably can only say this in the perspective of several centuries after the fact. You know, bear in mind,
now we're saying it's because they didn't.
Right, we're not that many years from the Holocaust. It's we can't even conjecture.
It's
right?
An attempt. I think the physical aspect of it was a physical aspect of it. In other words, people died, 24,000, but they had to search for a reason afterwards. Mm. And I think it's by human nature, there's an attempt to find a reason and explanation, because there's a belief, at least especially among us, that things just don't happen. Mm-hmm. So I think the physical aspect of somebody, that number of people dying, led to people to come up with a reason, or to try to come up with a reason or an explanation to try to fathom it. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. But
okay, no, that
the Holocaust, we have a historical explanation, meaning what was going on at the time. But we don't have, we don't know why.
Yeah, here, the explanation could be, you could just look at people died, they had a disease, and Ascara, and they died of a sickness. You have the swine flu now, people in Mexico are dying, so yes, they have to give an explanation, but I think if the perspective of a couple of centuries, you can give a little bit of a try to explain
absolutely.
And try to understand.
It has to be more than that, because it's really, really, really I mean, the kindest words to say, not nice to talk about people after they died. Well, they died because they weren't nice to each other. You know, it's
more than nice. Yeah.
I mean, that's like.
Yeah. Listen, if the Gemara wouldn't say this, it would be very hard for us to say it. I wouldn't venture a guess. But the Gemara has this understanding, and maybe Rabbi Akiva himself understood, and maybe, you know, he is one of the greatest people in history. And also, and remember, what was Rabbi Akiva, one of the most important things he said was, last week's parasha, after Recha Kamocha said, Kol Gadol B'Torah. And in fact, the Nesiva Shalom maybe spoke about that, if you'll see. He said, I actually wanted to show you, before we get to that, just take a brief look at Shakespeare for a second. I don't think he's saying exactly the same thing as the Shem Yishmuel, but it just hit me that it sounds so, you know, the it's so interesting. It's from Henry IV, number 5, next to the paperclip. That's my Shabbos markers, is the paperclip. Okay. Honor pricks, you know that I learned this on Shabbos initially. Right? Honor, I looked this up. Honor pricks me on, yay. But how, if honor pricks me off when I come on, how then? You have to see the context also. Can honor set to a leg? No. Or an arm? No. Or take away the grief of a wound? No. Honor hath no skill in surgery then? No. What is honor? A word. What is that? Is in that word? Honor. What is that honor? Air. Now, I kind of flipped it around. First of all, honor is air. Honor is like air because honor is necessary to breathe, to live, and without it you can't live. I also thought just the maybe you're looking at just the externals of what Shakespeare is saying here, but it was eerie to me as I saw the Lashon of the Shem Yishmuel talking about the Rabbi Akiva's students didn't appreciate, like the arm doesn't appreciate the leg and the leg doesn't appreciate the arm. So here also, okay, I have to look it up. I must admit I didn't go back to Shakespeare and look it up in the context. But I want to talk. The Nesiva Shalom continues. Aslanim Rebbe, on the point that we just made, that's page, it says Kufay Ted on the side, it says Nesiva Shalom, and says that which a person is tested in regard to, the things a person, God tests a person, are sometimes the things that they are strongest in. Because the idea of a test, we find this in other places, Nes Lit Noses, is to raise a person up higher. Because God feels that they're able to withstand the test. And so they're tested specifically in areas where they have, in areas of strength. Interesting. If you see the arrow there in the Sivar Shalom, it says, nefesh, the areas which the person puts themselves out most for, right, is Moser Nefesh. Mitgaber ha-yetzahara kenegdo. Dafke, in those areas, the Yetzahara attacks him or her. B'chol ha-kochot, with all manner, all strength, all types of strength. Lachshi lo bazeh, to make them trip up. V'alharia acharav amal shenichshal shelo yachol haya la'amod b'fnei godel higabrut hayetzer. Don't, you know, that a person messed up in an area that he couldn't stand up to the Yetzirah. Because the Yetzirah went out with full force. The person doesn't always, is not always able to win out. So Yetzirah attacked with the largest army it knows how to attack with. Zeshay agam kan. Rabbi Akiva, Rabban Shel Chavdalet of HaTalmidim, Amar. What did he say? What was his main principle? Yahavtu Recha Kamocha, Zeh Klal Gadol BaTorah. Right? Love your neighbors yourself. This is the most foundational principle in the Torah. Shezeh HaKlal, Shebitula Yeshut, Ve'anochiyut Bo Tliya Kol HaTorah Kula. That a person can't be thinking of themselves only, but has to think of others. V'chein L'umat Zeh Hitgaber Baldin V'chol HaKochot L'Hakshilam B'inyan Zeh. And the mitata and so it attacked them and it got them in this manner. Mitata ma'itabi me'as sfira. During this time, sheyamim eluhem yemei hachanah lekabalat haTorah. This is the time to get ready for receiving the Torah. So you would think during this time period we're supposed to elevate ourselves to get the Torah, right? We have to rise up 49 levels to get the Torah. Behema eit letikun kol amidot. The purpose of this time of year is tikun amidot, to improve our midot. That's why we learn Pirkei Avot every week. Right? We have to fix our midah. Especially in regard to after recha kamocha, she klal gadol b'Torah, la'agia l'kabalat haTorah. Okay? V'esrichim b'yomim elu la'avod b'midah zo shel after recha kamocha. We all have to work so hard on the after recha kamocha on the second column during this time. And to get rid of, it's all about me. L'yot, right, self-centered. L'yot kvod chaveru chavi olav. We have to think about our others. Yitzhar caught them in this matter. anochiut, too much focused on myself. That's, he interprets it differently, obviously. But the point also that I want to make here is that it's dafka, during the time where we're supposed to rise higher in our midah, when we learn Pirkei Avot. And it's dafka who said, his students, in the highest spiritual height. We have a principle in Torah in general, a principle that that area which Kadosh Baruch Hu tests us in, those areas where we, sometimes areas of strength, but those areas which have the greatest potential for Tuma have the greatest potential for Kedusha and vice versa. The Para Aduma is Mitame and Mitaher at the same time. The greatest Kedusha, the greatest Tahara, the greatest Tuma. We find this in so many places. You have wine. We make Kiddush over wine. But wine also makes a person drunk. Here's excuse the context, but this is true. It's in the Torah. It says Kiddushin versus Kadesha. Kadesha is a harlot. Kiddushin is marriage. The same word. Sanctity, separation, greatest potential for Kedusha, or the greatest potential for Tuma. The greatest potential for elevating our Midos this time of year. The greatest person, Rabbi Akiva. The greatest students, his students. Dafka, at this time, these students, this happened. Huge tragedy. But when we're sometimes on this spiritual high, is also, it says, Giva Rama, Levira Amikta, from the greatest heights to the lowest depths. Person sometimes on the ladder, it's easy to knock them down. So we have to be very, very careful, especially in, even in things, sometimes dafka, in things that we're particularly good at. And I wanted to just, since we really officially actually run out of time, but we'll spend like 5 more minutes, we start a little late, take a look at halacha question, I'll do a little halacha here. On the last page, the back page, this is from Piskei Teshuvot, very famous question. Why don't we make a Shechiyan on Sefirat HaOmer? It comes at least the first time, maybe the first night, maybe every night. There are lots of beautiful answers to it. One of them is that the conclusion of the mitzvah is on Shavuot, and we do make a Shechiyan on Shavuot night. That's one quick answer I'll just throw in. He gives several answers here. He quotes a beautiful, this is unusual, he quotes a Kedushat Levi, which I find is very beautiful, here that he quotes at the beginning. Because they were couldn't wait for when the time of the sphere is going to be over, and it's going to be finished, right? And they will get to Kabbalah Tatorah. So if you want something to be over, how can you say you want it to be finished and over with? Why are you going to say a Shechiyano? You don't really want it here. You can't wait to get to the Kabbalah Tatorah. So you don't say a Shechiyano on something you don't want. Number two answer, he says on the second column top. He says, there's no maisa and hana. There's no physical action associated with it, just words, saying Sefirat HaOmer, and there's no benefit. So without those two factors of maisa and hana, you can't say a Shechiyano. That's a halachic issue. And the opposite, Adarabba, is Zecha the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It's a memory of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So it's not a hana, it's a negative, right? It's a mourning. Ve'od, this is the third answer. Number 19 in the foot. Ki yamim elu hem yamei din. There are times of judgment. Ki lechein baha omer min ha-seorim. It comes from the omer. Pesach was brought from barley, which is maichal behem, the food of an animal. Ki dechtiv yin takrib min chad bikorim mechul ve'ala omer ha-katu medaber. Take a look at 19. Footnote number 19. I circled it. This is directly relevant to what we were just talking about in the Siva Shalom. Third word, second line in footnote number 19. Shizman zeh, divein Pesach la'atzeret, the time between Pesach and Shavuot, mesugal rufuot yeshuot. It's a time set aside for healing and salvation. You hear that? It's healing and salvation. Ein zeh stira. It's not a stira to what happened with the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. The other Abba, kevan shazman mesugal lidvarim hamo'ilim laguf leparnasah. Since this is a time which is set aside and open and ready for positive things that help the body and your parnasa too, alulim chas v'shalom lachto. It's also a time ripe for sin. It's time. Moshkatav de Abar ben El parshas vayikra shizman zeshu shehu acharei tadimata choref. It's the time after the sleep, the slumber of the winter. That's by Pebria mitchadeshet in its spring and the renewal. The avir tzalul bari and the air is today is a good day. It's a little bit the nicest weather of the week. But we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. Anyhow, the air is clear and healthy. Ha'itzim elav levim, and the trees are budding. Mit orer retichat adamim. You know, we learned about this in school, by the way, right? Spring fever, right? Mit orer. This is a description of spring fever. Mit orer retichat adamim. the blood starts to boil, bubble a little bit. Etzel Adam u'misugal lachto yoter mishar zmanim. So time the kids and adults get out of hand, they start to we're talking about in Saudi Arabia, they're drag racing. They do this every night. Here, when it gets hot out, they do that in certain neighborhoods a lot also. Things like that. And they're out in the street more, etc. The Havdil. L'chein ein l'smach l'isa nashim, because it's a time, you don't have, we diminish the simcha, because this time has potential to go both ways. And then just to go a little faster, with machal behemas, sa'orim, and this is a remer shadam yashpil atzmo b'yuchab yomim elu. And a person has to lower himself to be more humble at this time. But after the period, the next line, they died. Again, this is a major hashkafic principle we find in so many situations. A time and a person and a situation, a person has to be very careful never to let down their guard. Especially at the time, everything looks like it's going perfectly, whatever, that's when you have to be extra careful. And this is a very sobering, I'm sorry, it's not such an upbeat, but again, the context of the Gemara, if we go back to the context, but in spite of the Holocaust, Rabbi Akiva didn't give up. He rebuilt, he started his life again, he never gave up, and Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Akiva. All of Klal Yisrael was changed forever, the Shas, everything, because of Rabbi Akiva. The person who, in his own life, right, he restarted his life at age 40, right? He didn't learn Torah before then. A very nice story, but unfortunately, we've run out of time. So, Hashem, next week again, we'll talk a lot about halachic survey of the many different areas which cover. We should all be zocheh to be mavod of everyone else, to give them that spiritual air to breathe, especially regarding our children, our family, but all those around us, and we should be zocheh to build the Beis HaMikdash from here. Amen.